الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين. I don't want to waste any minute. The subjects that I have been given to talk about are broad subjects that need the whole seminar probably to take to cover. And if I receive any paper that says your time is out, then I'll go out. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Shiaism. Hey, now. There are 89 people from Sri Lanka in Qom studying the Shia of Khomeini. And they're going to go back as preachers for Khomeini Shiaism. And they're going to have the Iranian embassy. Don't take cut the sector. This is called self-security. Because, you know, some pamphlets that is manifested in it or had been introduced because Allah had promised to keep it from being tampered with. To the Shiaism, and the word Shia means here, the Shia, the adherents to Ali or to the party of Ali. And they have come up around the year 100 in Hijrah after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were inspired by a man by the name of Abdullah ibn Saba', who was a Jew and who brought them the concept of Iluhiyya of Ali, the divineship of Ali radiallahu anhu. To them the Quran authenticity is doubtful. Though of course they may not tell that to you openly because they have the secret of Taqiyya. And some Muslims say Tuqiyya. And Tuqiyya is wrong. Tuqiyya means fear of Allah. Yattaqillah. But Taqiyya means concealment and secrecy. Putting a face which contradicts the reality which is inside. Hiding. If it contradicts their own teachings that were set by their imam, as the Quran does, they will make their own interpretations of the Quran to fit their own concepts of belief set by their imam. This is number one. Second, regarding the hadith, to the Muslims, the hadith is the second source of authority that is related to revelation. And what is accepted to the Muslims is the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which goes into scrutiny by checking every narrator who has told or uttered something about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or carried a narration from one before him. This is called the science of ilm al-rijal, the science of hadith, and which document the authenticity versus the weakness of any hadith. And what is reliable is the authentic hadith. This is because the authentic hadith would tell the true saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which cannot be contradictory to anything from the teachings of Islam. To them, the hadith must be related by people of al-bayt, meaning people of the family of Ali or the descendants of Ali. And it has no scientific origin whatsoever in checking the authenticity. In fact, their books like Al-Kafi, Al-Kafi to them is like Sahih Muslim and Al-Bukhari to us. Al-Kafi to them contains many thousands of fabricated hadith, so-called. And when they set a narration, they would say, for example, narrated such a person on behalf of the family of the Ali radiallahu anhu, etc. Now this is not a scientific way of narration. And now the context of this, for this hadith that they use is also dangerous because it is there to confirm for them the authenticity of the imam's point of view relating in relation to the faith. Second, or first, the Islamic stamp versus the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam In the Islamic way is that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are best described by Allah in the Quran. That Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. And this is a rank which Allah had given them, an honorable rank for them, because they had been the trusted followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the carriers of this faith to others who came later. The Islamic way shows respect but not worship of these companions. High respect but not worship. None of them is elevated to any divinity whatsoever, or to even a prophethood level. Now, with Shi'ism, all of them except few are mushrikeen, are apostates, murtadeen, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they look at the level of Ali radiallahu anhu, some to prophethood and some more, lift him up to divine level. Regarding Tawheed, the Islamic way regarding the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is one in His names, attributes, in His actions, in His lordship and in His godship. No partners, no rivals, no intermediates, no whatsoever. He is unseen and He does not dwell in His creation or any part of Him. He is not partitioned and there is no part of Him in any of His creation. To them who believe in Allah, but they introduce their polytheistic rituals and observations and call upon other than Allah by saying, O Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Hussein, O Hussein, O Imam such and such, and to them the infallible Imam they are called. And they have also what is known as Awliya, mystic saints for them. They call them Awliya, and that these awliya can know the unseen, and that they have reached levels that no prophet had ever reached, and that they are the spiritual axis of universe, of the universe. Al-Aqtab Aydan. These awliya. They, in contrast of the Islamic way, the Islamic way to knowledge about Allah is based heavily on the revelation. To them, it comes through what they call the exercise of reasoning and not via revelation. And this reasoning could flip-flop to fit the Imam's concept of anything. Regarding the actual seeing of Allah in the hereafter, the Islamic way confirms that وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. On that day, faces of the believers will be resplendent, looking towards their Lord. To them, this is not possible. They don't confirm the actual seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers in the hereafter. Regarding when you say sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, the Islamic way of understanding the meaning of alihi is as follows. It is either the followers, it is referring to either the followers, and this is the best definition, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the second understanding is that it may refer to the pious, God-fearing people. Or a third understanding is that it may refer to the believing relatives of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Bani Hashim or Bani Abdul Muttalib, the tribes of Bani Hashim or Bani Abdul Muttalib. And the best definition though is that Ali Rasul are the followers of Al Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shia, Al Rasul refers only to Ali bin Abi Talib and to the descendants of his son. Regarding Sharia, the Islamic understanding regarding Sharia is that it is an essential reality and it is real, and that it had been delivered completely by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ولم يكتم شيء, and he does not keep for himself any part of this knowledge. To them, the reality of Sharia is known only by special people, but to the general public, no. It is exclusively the inner, or they give it two dimensions, the inner and the outer dimension, that the inner dimension of the Sharia, as they say, is only known to their imam. Regarding the fiqh, the Quran, the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ, the hadith, the sayings of the companions and those after them, are the reliable sources for first setting the fiqh rules, then the understanding of these fiqh rules. And if anything comes up in the future, Allah orders to ask the people of knowledge who adhere to the Quran and to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ regarding certain matters that may appear in the future, what would be the Islamic jurisdiction related to this, and the deduction will be made by these scholars in adhering to the principle, adhering to the principles and the guidelines in Quran and Hadith. To them, it is again exclusively to the Imam, and their so-called tafsir is far-fetched, and they have what is called really a contrary attitude in almost every act of worship. You do Salah this way, we will do it this way. You do Hajj this way, we will do it that way. You do Siyam when you fast, when you break your fast, we'll do it a different way. In every aspect that the Muslims will do, they will act of worship according to how it has been revealed, they will produce a contrary attitude or a contrary act of worship according to their own way. This goes from Salah all the way to the rules of inheritance. The Taqiyah. The Taqiyah, belying what one conceals inside to protect oneself from harm. This is the definition. It is it's not permissible to deceive in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." So deceives is not of us. It is only permissible at times of war with your enemy to conceal your preparations or your intent in order to trick your enemies, and this is permissible in Islam. To them, it is the pillar of faith. It is stated in their book that it is the 9 over 10 of the deen. This is its ratio. 9 over 10, it represents the ratio of 9 to 10 with respect to the deen, to their deen. The end to them justifies the deen. The end justifies the deen. Lying, cunning, deception is all permissible in order to attain what you want. Regarding governorship. Governorship in Islam is for the Khalifa who is to be chosen by Muslim leaders and to be given alliance by Muslims, allegiance by Muslims. To them, it's hereditary, it's inherited. This right only goes to the family of Ali, the descendants from Fatima. And they have a concept which is very much like incarnation, what is called Ar-Raj'ah. That is, the last Imam did not die out of the 12 Imams, did not die. He had gone into a Sardab, into a hall, and he's hiding in this hall waiting for his coming again to rule and kill all these people who stood against Shia. This is, in summary, the basic deviations of the sect as compared to the Islamic teachings. There's a lot of details regarding every principle or every act of worship that they may do, but this is not the time to go in detail on every one aspect of this because of the time we have. For those who need more, there are good books to read. I refer you to, and it is available, and a very nice book, like this book, which is called The Broad Aspects of Shia Religion, by Muhibbuddin al-Khatib, translated by Mahmoud Murad, and it's available probably in many centers now in Jariyat. Those who don't have it, they can order it from the publishers, or Maktab Ha'il here has some copies. They may give, inshallah, or tell the brothers how to get it. It's an excellent reference about Shi'ism. Al-Khutuf al-Ariza, لمحب الدين الخطيب رحمة الله عليه للأسس التي قام عليها دين الشيعة الإمامية الاثني عشرية. This broad aspect of Shia religion, exposition and refutation, and gives you a summary of their basic concepts of belief. Then we come to the subject which is far from Shiaism. And some people like to talk about that because they want to get married. About women. Some like four wives now after Bilal what he said. Not Hassan? Ghalliatul Muhur and two. Alhamdulillah. This is the latest of the hijab. Go to the West and you give lectures and then one woman sitting back there. Why you have the Muslim woman walking like a tent? What is this black object walking the street? In these societies, we call them the open societies, there is a lot of molestation of women. But the question is why it is happening? And the answer begins to shape up when people think about the purpose of their creation. But when they don't think about the purpose of their creation, they'll do anything. The purpose of the creation, we know it, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Part of this worship of Allah is manifested in order that He had ordained. And it is for the benefit of men and women. And part of this is how men and women should avoid all the roads that would lead to animalistic ways of living. And such comes the hijab as an honor and protection for the woman, as well as, listen to this, as well as true freedom for her body from the hands and eyes of the aggressor. It is an act of worship. The hijab is an act of worship. And maybe I will come closer like that. Will help? InshaAllah. The hijab is an act of obedience, number one. It is related to the fulfilling of the purpose of creation of the woman as part of the whole creation on earth. It is an obedience to Allah and to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a manifestation of tawheed. It is one aspect of manifestation of tawheed. And the hijab, second, is the iffah. Iffah meaning modesty. Modesty, iffah. It is a manifestation for chastity and modesty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the translation of the meaning, O Prophet, tell your wife and daughter
and the believing woman that they should cast their outer garments over their persons when outdoors. That is most convenient that they should be known as such and not molested. So there is a chastity and protection as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in this ayah. And it is an evidence that recognizing the apparent beauty of the woman is harmful to her. In the book of Allah we found that He subhanahu wa ta'ala made it permissible for elderly women who may have lost every aspect of attraction to lay aside their outer garments and expose their faces and hands. This has been cited in the Quran in Surah An-Nur, Surah 24, Ayah 60. Such elderly women as are past the prospect of marriage, there is no blame on them if they lay aside their outer garments, provided that they don't make a display of their beauty, but it is best for to be modest, and Allah knows and sees all things. So Allah is making it very clear here, even for the elderly woman to better keep her modesty. So how about the young woman? The hijab is a tahara, purity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown us the hikmah, wisdom, behind the legislation of hijab. This is in Surah 33, Ayah 53. And when you ask them, meaning the Prophet's wife, for anything you want, ask them from behind a screen that is purer for your heart and their heart. الشاهد هنا, that is purer for your heart and their heart, meaning the heart of the companion too. It's purer for their heart. The hijab makes for greater purity of the heart of the believing man and woman, because if the eye does not see, then the heart does not desire. If on the other hand the eye sees, then the heart may or may not desire. That is why the heart is more pure when the sight is blocked by the hijab, and thus the prevention of fitna, evil actions, is very much manifested. And the hijab hayy. So the Prophet ﷺ saying, Allah Most High is hayy, He loves haya, He loves bashfulness. And sitr, and sitr meaning shielding, covering, He loves that. And that He is Sittir. Sittir meaning Allah is Sittir. He provides means that shield against the uncovering of disobedient acts. The slaves commit acts of disobedience while Allah is providing them with many of His favors. He subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the opportunity for each one of us to turn to Allah in repentance and to seek His forgiveness. He loves those who don't like the spread of sin, and He dislikes the Muslim who publicizes his acts of sins and disobedience. He loves the Muslim who does not unravel the sins of his brother in Islam, while at the same time calls him to repent and seek the way of Allah. The hijab is something beloved by Allah because it is a shield against the spread of evil manifested in the display of beauty to strangers. The Prophet ﷺ also said, any woman who takes of her clothes in other than her husband's home to show off for unlawful purposes has broken Allah's shield upon her. This is related by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, who said it is a good hadith. Why? Because this is so, because depending upon the kind of action committed, there will be either reward if good or punishment if bad. Fine. The hijab is taqwa, righteousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 7, Ayah 26, the translation of the meaning, O children of Adam, we have bestowed raiment upon you to cover your private parts and as an adornment, but the raiment of righteousness, that is better. Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 26. The widespread forms of dresses in the world today are mostly for show off and are hardly taken as a cover and shield of the woman's body. To the believing woman, however, the purpose is to safeguard their bodies and cover their private parts as a manifestation to the order of Allah, and therefore it is an act of righteousness. Six. The hijab is iman, is belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not address his word about the hijab except to the believing women, al-mu'minat. And say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the believing woman, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, to the believing woman. So he had given them what? The attribute of belief, the quality of iman, the quality of faith. In another ayah, which is, I didn't give you the ayah number here, but the ayah number is 24, Surah An-Nur, ayah 31. In another ayah, in Surah 33, ayah 59, and the believing woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the believing woman. In fact, when women from the tribe of Bani Tamim came visiting Aisha radiallahu anha, and they had light clothes on them, she said, if indeed you are a believing woman, then truly this is not the dress of the believing woman. And if you are not a believing woman, then enjoy it. This is reported in Ma'alim al-Sunan by Abu Sulaiman al-Khitabi in his explanation of Sunan al-Nisa'i. Seven. The hijab is haya, bashfulness. Haya. Seven. Seven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, each religion has a morality, and the morality of Islam is haya. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, bashfulness is from belief, and belief is in heaven. Furthermore, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bashfulness and belief are fully associated together. If one is lifted, the other follows suit. Bashfulness, haya. The mother of believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, said, I used to enter, listen to this, the beauty of the meaning of haya as exercised by Aisha radiallahu anha. I used to enter the room where the Messenger of Allah subhanahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and my father were later buried in. Used to enter this room without having my garment on me, saying it is only my husband and my father. But when Umar radiallahu anhu was buried in later, I did not enter the room except that I had my garment on me, being shy from Umar. Wa is mayyit, he is dead. Radiallahu anhu. The hijab is therefore the natural bashfulness which is part of the nature of women. In the West and many other places, they had taken this out from her and they exposed her as a cheap piece of sex in many sources. The hijab is ghira. There is no equivalent in English for ghira, so don't look at me. The hijab is ghira. Ghira. G-H-E-E-R-A-H. Listen to the meaning and you will like it. The hijab is the natural instinct of ghira. Of ghira. That is intrinsic in the straight man who does not look or does not like people to look at his wife or daughter. Ghira is a driving emotion that drives the man to safeguard the woman from strangers. Many in the world have lost this great moral aspect. In response to lust and desire, you will see them looking at other women and thus don't mind others to look at theirs. يعني هو ينظر للمرأة, he looks at the foreign woman. Hey, I can look at her, why they can't look at my wife, huh? You see many sitting with strange women who are half naked, enjoying the scene. Consequently, their wives sit in similar situations that they don't mind others looking at their private parts. The eyes eat up these parts with their gazing, and there is no problem. The inner justification is, since I can look, they can look. It's a free choice, huh? few are those who feel anything if they discover their wives have affairs. They become numb. No dignity, no honor. In some societies they call the police pigs. Regardless of any reason, could it also be said that those who have no ghira are just like pigs? The bottom line is that in many societies of this modern world, the animalistic behaviors are becoming very apparent. Ali radiallahu anhu said, it was related to me that you women used to crowd the kuffar, the disbelieving men from the non-Arabs in the market. Don't you have ghira? There is no good in the one who does not have ghira. Islam considers ghira as an integral part of faith. The dignity of the wife or daughter or any other Muslim woman must be highly respected and defended. So this is what about the hijab, the virtues of hijab. What about tabarruj, the opposite of that? Tabarruj, T-A-D-A-A or 1-A-R-R-O-J. The disgrace of tabarruj, which means display of woman's charm. Tabarruj. It linguistically means the display of beauty by a woman, showing her body features and using all means to attract men other than her husband. In Islamic terms, it means the display of beauty by woman. Also it is said, tabarruj, to walk and or move her body in a show-off way. Some said it is every form of beautification displayed by a woman in order to look good in the eyes of the stranger. Even if the head mask of the woman is chosen with bright colors and attractive features and is intended as a means to capture the sight of people, then it is also considered to be the tabarruj of jahiliyyah, of ignorance. Those who display or disobey Allah and His Messenger can only harm themselves and cannot in any way harm Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of my followers will enter paradise except those who refuse. They said, O Allah's Messenger, who will refuse? He said, whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me is the one who refuses to enter it. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 9, hadith number 384. It is reported that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu gave a sermon in Homs, Syria, and mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited seven things, and that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named tabarruj as one of them. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to dislike 10 kinds of behavior, and he, Abdullah, mentioned amongst them tabarruj by means of displaying beautification in an improper place. End of quote. Imam Sayyuti, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said, tabarruj by displaying beautification is showing off to strangers, and this is dislike. This is the explanation of an improper place. It is not so if it is done for a husband, of course. Tabarruj is a grave, destructive sin. Umayna, the daughter of Ruqayya, came to the Messenger of Allah to acknowledge the message of Islam. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be the Messenger of Allah. She came acknowledging that. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I give my acknowledgement that you must not set partners to worship besides Allah, and that you don't steal or commit fornication and adultery, that you don't kill your child, that you don't commit any falsehood before your hands and between your legs, that you don't wail, and that you don't make tabarruj, like that of jahiliyyah. It's clear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam associated tabarruj with grave destructive sin. Tabarruj brings the curse and expulsion from the mercy of Allah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there shall be in the later part of my nation women who are dressed but in fact naked. On their heads are humps like those of books, which is one kind of camel. Curse them, for they are surely cursed. Tabarruj is an attribute of the people of hell. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, of the people of hell there are two types whom I have never seen. The one who possessing whips like the tail of an ox, and they flog people with them. And the second one, women who would be naked in spite of their being dressed, who are seduced to run fast and seduce others with their hair like hum. These women would not get into paradise, and they would not perceive the odor of paradise, although its fragrance can be perceived from such and such distance. Tabarruj is darkness on the day of resurrection. It is related that the Prophet ﷺ said, the parable of a woman who moves with slow, sweeping motion, trailing her beautified clothes, performing not for her husband or for their husband, is like darkness on the day of judgment. She has no light. Tabarruj is nifaq, hypocrisy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of your woman is the affectionate, the fertile in productivity, the propitious, favorable, the consolative if they fear Allah. The most evil of your women are the mutabarrijat, those who do tabarruj, the mutakhayyilat, who strut and swagger, and they are the hypocrite ones. Those who enter heaven are like the kaf crow. The kaf crow has a red beak and red legs. This is an expression of metonymy, indicating that few women enter heaven because this kind of crow is rare. Tabarruj is disgraceful. The Prophet ﷺ said, any woman who takes off her clothes in other than her husband's home to show off for an unlawful purpose has broken the shield between her and Allah. A commentary by Imam An-Nawawi, may Allah's mercy be upon him, on this hadith says, any woman who takes off her clothes in other than her husband's home means showing off her beauty to strangers by taking off her shield of clothes. She has broken the shield between her and Allah. Tabarruj is unchaste and disgraceful. The woman is awra. All of her body is not to be shown. And to some people, some scholars exclude the face and hands to that effect, we must say. And this is one of the issues of differences related to the subject. And this is known as Al-Khilafu Al-Mu'tabar. There is something in Islam or in the jurisdiction when there are evidences supporting a certain point of view, and also there are certain other evidences supporting views related to the same subject, then this kind of deduction of shukum is known as khilafun mu'tabar, that is tolerable. The difference in this regard to any subject, meaning not only to the issue of face and hand, becomes tolerable. But to wear the clothes that show off and shape your body features is disgraceful, and Allah orders his slaves to stay away from disgraceful sins. Yani, even the people who took the opinion of that the face and hands could be shown, they said the only deduction that they differed with the others is this, that it is not obligatory upon her, but it is better for her to cover the face and hands. That's the thing I want to remind you about.